Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to James chapter 2. Yes, we're going back to James. We were there last week. You know, as I was sitting here going over this message this morning, I just thought, you know what? What would be really just cool? Should have just done, just started in James chapter 1, verse 1, and just started preaching. Because James understood some things about the gospel. He understood some things about God, as did the writers of Hebrews. And it's not that nobody else did. I'm just saying that these particular books, for some reason, they speak a lot to us. James is the one that told us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. But yet you don't hear people talk about James. We hear people talking all about Paul and all this. And you know, Paul's a great man of God. I'm not going to take anything away from him. But in his own right, I think James was too. John. You know, they all understood something about God, and they understood it just a little differently. So James chapter 2, verse 14. That's where we're going to start. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe there is one God." You know, I laugh. "Oh, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. I believe..." Let's carry on and see what James had to say about that. "You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble." Don't you just love it? Somebody, "Oh, I believe in..." Here's what I believe in God. Yeah, so does the demon of alcohol, and he's trembling right now. James says, "You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons do, and they tremble." Verse 20. "But do you know, do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.'" You know, there's a song we sing, it's kind of a popular song. You hear it periodically in different churches and meetings. "I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God." How do you become a friend of God, folks? John chapter 15 will tell you. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command." Oh, now wait a minute here. "No, I'm a friend of God, but I don't want to do everything God told me to do." That's where we mess up. We like to sing the song, "I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God," because we know what we're doing. We're associating the friend with a person in power. "I'm a friend of Donald Trump. I'm a friend of Donald Trump." In certain circles, that'll get you somewhere. With God, it's not going to get you diddly squat. He's going to say, "Yeah, so what? I told Donald to do something." Y'all remember Donald was... Remember back in the day when Donald was the only billionaire we really knew of? He doesn't even qualify anymore. Let me tell you what, and his marriage... I mean, his life's been just one disaster after another. Because I'm going to tell you what, this is just theory, conjecture, okay? So anybody listening online, on CD, whatever, and you hear, this is theory and conjecture. I believe probably God told him to do something. Something to help other people. And the man chose the other path. He went from a billionaire back to being just a millionaire. Now, granted, he's got a lot of money still, and his name might get you, you know, but listen, if you had all that money, don't you think you'd get a better haircut? Yeah. I mean, JD will take it. JD will teach him how to get a good haircut. Verse 25. "Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You can't have works, or you can't have faith and not be backing it by works. Now, this is what we're going to look at here on this works issue. Because a lot of people, now wait a minute, you're justified by Jesus Christ, but you got to understand what he was even talking about. Jesus Christ was justified by his works. He was obedient to God. He pointed it out clearly. How was Abraham justified? By his works. What did he do? He did what God told him to do. He took Isaac to the mountain with full intent of sacrificing him. Okay? We got to understand it. He had full intent. But Abraham also knew, we read this, I believe it's in Hebrews, where Abraham also knew that one, God was able to make, Abraham said this himself, God will provide the sacrifice. But he also believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. Why? Because God had already told Abraham, I will use that boy and I will raise a people unto me. He's the promise. All Abraham had to do was be obedient. That's why he was going gung-ho on this thing. Come on, boy. Let's keep going. You grab the firewood. I got the pot of coals. We're going up on top of the mountain, and we're going to have a sacrifice. Daddy, I see the coals. I see the wood, but I don't see a sacrifice. God will provide himself one. But Abraham in his heart was set. Isaac, you're it. And God's going to raise you from the dead right in front of my eyes. You notice he said the angel of the Lord, which if you go back again, that's the reference is a deity. It means Jesus was there and he said, whoa, stop. I see now that you are a man who fears God. His works. He was going to do what God told him to do. Nothing else. He had a mission in his mind and he was on his way. I've got to check this all out and stuff. I've watched some of those biblical archaeology shows on TV and stuff, and different ministers in there. And I believe it was Perry Stone was talking about. He says that right over there is where Abraham offered Isaac. Right over here on those mountains, you can see. And I started doing some checking and. I'm not too for certain that it's not the same place Jesus Christ was offered up. I believe it was. That it was the same exact place, or the same mountain, maybe not exact, the exact same spot. Okay, I'm just saying, I think it's the same mountain that Jesus was sacrificed on. Okay? I mean, that's how intense our God is. So don't go thinking, well, it's all by accident. God sent him to this mountain 2,000 years before, for no reason whatsoever. 3 days from him, his home. Why couldn't he have gone here? Well, because 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ was going to be hung on a cross on that. And there was a significance. The one who was hanging on the cross was brought through by the one who was previously offered. Now, so we see Abraham was justified in God's eyes because of his obedience. He didn't have the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't even have the law. He had none of that. He was justified, though. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, let me state this. If God tells you to wear a suit and tie to church every Sunday, every meeting, you had better do it. Because God told you to do it. You understand? Because God told you to do that. He didn't write in his word, Rob, you need to wear a suit and tie every Sunday. No. But God may have told Rob. God may have told me. If God told me, Art, I want you in a suit and tie every Sunday morning now. I'll wear a suit and tie every Sunday morning. And I will like it. I will learn to like it. Why? Because God told me, and that would be counted righteousness unto me if I did what God told me to do. But it's counted sin unto me if I disobey God. And this is in the big stuff and the little stuff. And this is where the church seems to be hanging up at. God tells people to do things, but they go to the organization of the church and they say, "Pastor, we need to do this." What's this we stuff, Kemosabe? God didn't come down and tell me. Now, if God did want me involved in it, God is going to tell me through the Holy Spirit. "Hey, Art, I'm sending Gloria to you. She's got an idea. I gave it to her. You set her in the right direction." God did that with me and Pastor Dosek. God told me, he said, "Go to Pastor Dosek. He's the man that I'm sending you to." I said, "Okay." I went to Pastor Dosek. I said, "Pastor, you don't know me from Adam." I said, "But God has called me into ministry. He has told me to start a church in Mount Gilead." He says, "Great. That's great, brother. I believe with you." I said, "Here's the other thing. God told me to come to you, that you were to help me." He stopped. He just looked at me. He said, "You know, Art, I don't do that kind of stuff. But I was praying." I think it was two or three days ago. He said, "I was praying two or three days ago. And God said, I'm sending you two young men. Don't turn them away." I have no idea. I think the other guy's from Tennessee or someplace. He said, "Don't turn them away. I don't know what's ever happened. I don't know what's going on. I don't care. I'm not in competition with anybody." But the point being, it would have been counted sin to Pastor Dosek if he had not received me. It would have been counted sin to me if I had not gone to Pastor Dosek, because God had told me. I became a friend of God by being obedient. See, my faith was put into action by my works. My faith was standing there, "Okay, God, you've called me to start this church. I have no clue how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, all I know to do is not do what I've seen done that has destroyed churches. That's all I know. That's what I'm running with, God. I'm running by the seat of my pants here. That's kind of my thing." And I said, "We're just going to fly by the seat of our pants here on this." But it was all the action that started putting that faith together. It moved the hand of God in things. Why? Sin doesn't move the hand of God. Sin causes it to retract. I can't keep working on that. There's sin. You're disobedient. And if we sit and think, "Well, you know, God told me to take Miss Gloria to lunch, and I didn't do it because I didn't think she'd want to go out." Well, guess what, fool? That's what the Bible just called you. I just read it. "Oh, foolish man." Did I not just read that? "Oh, you'll go to hell for calling your brother a fool." You might want to get in there and really dig into that scripture. The Bible calls a lot of people fools, but particularly people who do not obey God. Because now it would have been counted righteousness to you for taking her to lunch, and you would have been blessed out of the deal. Not that she was going to give you something, but God was going to move on your behalf. "I've been believing God for this and this, but I can't afford to take her out to lunch." Well, I'm sure Ms. Gloria can eat $50 worth of food. Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. You can't afford not to take her out. You had better save your pennies, save your dimes. Get out there, pick up pop cans off the side of the road. Do whatever. Donate blood. Oh, I had to quit donating blood at one point. I'm like, "Man, they're going to think I'm a junkie. Look at all them holes." Got a bunch of them. I told Angela, I said, "Man, I know where I can make $300 a week." She said, "Where?" I said, "Giving plasma again." I said, "But I don't know if I want to do that." I think they use all the people they're training as nurses and stuff to take your blood. I had a couple of them guys. I thought, "Man, I think I see that needle sticking out my elbow." But anyhow, you cannot afford not to obey God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. 9 times out of 10, God will tell you to minister to somebody who cannot. And don't ever, let's back this train up. Don't you ever expect to receive from the person you've sown into. Because the majority of the time, God will tell you to give into somebody who cannot give back. Oh, I'm going to take her to luncheon. Maybe she's actually a millionaire and she's just living in the elderly housing up there. You know, maybe this is all just a front. Gloria's like, woohoo! God's not going to do that. It's been my experience, folks. God will tell me to give over here, and I get blessed over here. Or I might get blessed from way over there. Oh, maybe I'll do this, and they'll put me in their will. I've heard it. I'm telling you. I've heard it. Oh, maybe I can get in their will, get in their good graces. How about you get in the good graces of God? Yeah, how about getting in His will, staying in His will, doing what He said? He said, you're my friend. Do you not look out for your friends? You look out for your friends, don't you? Nobody's going to mess with your friends. You could be in a group of 500 people, and if somebody starts messing with your friend, you're going to get involved, even though you're both probably going to get your butt kicked. You're going to get involved because that's your friend. Well, how would you like to have God as your friend? He's not going to let you get beat up, and He's not getting beat up. I mean, His own angels can just stick their hand outside a door and blind an entire crowd that they can't find the door that they were just beating on. Not only did He blind them, He confused them. We're talking about the same God who is Jesus Christ, who was preaching in Nazareth, and they were going to stone Him, they were going to push Him off His cliff. They were pushing Him. They were pressing against Him so hard. And Jesus just walked between them. Yeah, I know some of our minds, okay, that's more than I can handle. It's in there. It says He just walked through them. They didn't know it. They didn't know what hit them. That's the power of God. That's the kind of guy I want as a friend. Let me hold your hand, Jesus. You know, hoping that, you know, all the little things that we've seen about our superheroes, hold my cape and you'll fly. Okay, that's all I need to know. If I hold on to your booty, I can fly. As long as you're in the air, I'm okay. But if I let go, you mean I fall. I am not letting, I got both feet. You know, in Okinawa, I had this buddy. He would never go buy his own flippers. And we'd snorkel on the weekends. The man would not buy his own flippers. They're $40. He would not buy his own flippers. He'd hold on to our ankle, one ankle. There'd be two of us, and we'd pull him. He could snorkel as long as he held on to us. And I think he copped an attitude one time, and we're probably 200 yards off the island, you know. And there's a nice pool, and there's this ribbon sea snake. I mean, the thing's probably 8 feet long, and it's just sitting there on the bottom like this. We're watching. Oh man, that's cool. He lets go so we could all just sit there and look at it. Me and Todd, we just started taking our flippers and kicking them back and forth like this and stirring up the water around him. And that snake didn't like that. And then we left him. Now you just, yes, they are one of the most deadly snakes in the world. Let me emphasize it. But they can only get you like between the fingers and between your toes. So it's not like they can just sink fangs into your. But he learned to quit copping attitudes on people out when they're giving you a ride. You want to be our friend? Quit being a jerk to us. As a matter of fact, you might be buying lunch when we get out of here. Because we're hungry now. Now anyhow, so James says, what does it profit you? In verse 14, he says, what is it profiting you if you say you have faith, but you're not putting any action with it? Now let me ask you this. Lord God, I'm believing. I've been talking about this, you know. I'm believing that I'm going to drop 3 sizes this summer. Well, where's your faith at without putting a little action with it? You know, yeah, I understand you're getting a little older, things, You gain weight, things happen, you don't exercise as often. But let me ask you this. If I'm not working at it to lose the weight, cutting out the sugar, cutting back on all this stuff, exercising a little bit, am I going to lose the weight? I will attest to you right now, folks, the last 5 years, it does not work. The couch exercise method does not work. Yeah. I got that remote memorized, man, and this thing's got all kinds of controls on it. I can find it in the dark. There's off. Slide down. There's the channels. Oh, yep, right there's the last channel. Slide over here. There's the volume. There's mute. I know where all that stuff's at. That doesn't get you three sizes smaller. Matter of fact, I can about promise you, you might be three sizes larger than you wanted to be. Where's your faith? Well, there's no action, so you not have faith. You have words. Words without actions are dead. That's why I tell you, folks, positive talking is not faith because there's no action with it. Oh, Lord God, I'm believing. Okay, I'm going to use this as an example, okay? Now, our brother Jerry, Lord God, he's guiding these doctors. He had one artery 75% and the other one's 100. Okay? Where would Jerry's faith be if he's like, well, I'm just going to continue what I did and do all the doing, but I'm believing God that I'm going to be healed, that this is going to open up. Well, Pastor, he went to the doctor. Let's get something straight. Doctors are not evil. There are preachers that are teaching you doctors are evil, and I joked with Gina the other day. The doctors told her she had this now, and I said, just think, they're getting paid to practice. Because I was told I had hepatitis once. I'm like, huh? You mean that incurable blood disease? That I'm carrying a card currently that says that I might have contracted it in the Philippines? Just for being there? You mean that disease? But see, where would Jerry's faith be? Jerry's not exercising any less faith by being in the hospital right now. His faith is, God's going to see me through this. God's going to clear that out. Yeah, he's using a man. Yeah. Yeah. And if he didn't change his diet. Listen, I eat Cheerios 9 times out of 10 if I can keep my boys from eating it all. I hated Cheerios as a kid. I'm like, who would want that? Give me the Cocoa Puffs. Give me the Rice Krispies, you know, the other things. I want the Flintstone chocolate. Cocoa, or whatever it is. I want anything that had chocolate. Okay? But now, you know, and my boys, like I said, they love Cheerios. And I actually have to say, you know what? This is Daddy's box. You leave Daddy's box of Cheerios alone. Daddy feels better when he eats those. Chiefly because Daddy's not starving at that point. Because if there's no Cheerios, I'm like, man, what do I got? Oh, I go fix an egg. Which are good, but you got to keep things in moderation. I love bacon, but you know what? I come to the conclusion. I can't eat a pound of bacon at a sitting anymore. I used to try, but I can't do that. Exactly. Same thing, you know, anybody that's had heart issues, you can't continue to eat the same way you did. Well, I'm believing God for miraculous. Listen, you live in a natural body. You had better take care of it naturally. God's not into voodoo. And that's what we're expecting. Oh, God, melt away these pounds. Oh, God, do something. Take away the cholesterol out of the bacon. Boy, I wish he'd do that. Yeah, that'd be great. But I'm going to point out again, folks, there's a reason he said not to eat pork. Because of the high cholesterol intake. He knew that our bodies didn't process it, and it was so good that we would just, pardon the pun, go hog wild on it. Now, let me get back to what I guess we're still talking about faith. But he says, so what's it going to profit? What good's it going to do you? I've got faith, but I ain't doing nothing with it. Well, you're going to die. Doctor tells you got high blood pressure. He tells you got to quit losing your temper. I think it's time you learn some anger management. Quit sweating the small stuff. That's usually it. The small stuff is what you usually blow your top about. Because you realize the big stuff, there ain't a thing you can do about. But the small stuff, boy, you're just going to go to war. And the small stuff is what causes your blood pressure to rise. Now, he went on to say here, says, can faith save him? Your works can't save you. I'm going to just back this up. You can't do enough good works to be saved. However, and I'm going to show you something here. He's asking, what good does it do you to have faith in God if you won't do what God has said? What did he say? He said, take this gospel to the world. Well, if you're not willing to stand up and be a Christian, well, I don't want people to get the wrong idea that I'm a religious fanatic. Too late. You know, Pat, we were talking the other day, and Pat said, when I was before, he said, man, I'm a member of every, he says, I'm a life member. I paid so many dues to the Legion and the VFW and all this stuff. He said, but I don't go there anymore. He said, people ask what happened. He says, I quit drinking. I'm a different man. I'm no longer the same. Why? What did he do? He took his faith in God and met it with action. When the Bible says, do not be drunk, he took it literally, which is what it meant. Because guess what, folks? Contrary to popular belief, drinking is not good for you. I mean, it really isn't. I like that cable commercial with the guy from the show Yes, Dear. He's the moronic brother-in-law, his security guard. I kind of like the show periodically, but anyhow, he's on the cable commercials and he's talking about how technology has advanced and all this stuff. And he said, years ago, people used to think moonshine had vitamins because it's made out of corn. Oh, it's good for you. Well, listen, I got a bunch of family members who I take you to their gravesides who died before they were 50. Liver failure. My own grandfather, his heart exploded, folks. It did not just die. They said it exploded inside his chest. He was 55 years old. 55! I'm 40 now. I'm catching up to where my grandfather was when he died. And I was 16 when I carried his coffin. So what happened? Pat put his faith with what he was saying, with the actions. Okay, I'm taking this out. There is a change. I remember a couple years ago, Stephen Curtis Chapman did that song. What about the change? See, we got this sloppy grace message a couple years back. Oh, you don't have to change. You just come. Time out. You do got to change. I'm not saying you can't be a blue. God, if you're a redneck, God's not going to change the color of your neck. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're a redneck for the rest of your life. I heard somebody, they're in business and they're doing quite well in it. And I heard somebody tell this person, said, you know what? You and Bill, his name's Bill, I'm not going to tell you his last name. He said, this guy's name is Terry. He said, Terry, he said, did you ever think there would be a time in life when you and a man like Bill would be equal? Now, Bill had 52 W-2s in 1 year. That's what he told it. He said, I had 52. He was a used car salesman to boot. Now, he had built a business and was doing well in it. And this other person was in the same type of business. But this other person was an engineer, had a college degree. He had a good job, was brought up right. This other guy was what we call a redneck. And somebody said, did you ever think there was a time when you and Bill would be equal? He said, let's back that train up just a second. He said, we are not equal. We may be in the same business. We may be making money, but we are still no ways near equal. God's not going to change the color of your neck. You want to change your redneck attitudes? The only person going to do that's you. That's inbred, I'll tell you right now. There are things I think, and then I'm like, where did I think that up? Where did I come up with that at? And then I'll go to a family reunion, like, there it is. I found it. How did it skip all those other people, but it hit me? Yeah, luck. That's a lot of luck. So what he starts talking about in verse 15, he says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit you? Well, Pastor, I don't have much. Do you think the little boy who had a couple loaves of bread, a couple fishes, by the way, they weren't huge fish. They'd have been tiny little fish, basically sardine size. They didn't carry around big old codfish or... Yeah, they'd have been tiny little things. They were snacks. Like I said, they'd probably been about the size of sardines. They were small fish that would have been dried, and that's how they'd have eaten them. He offered what he had to God. He gave it to God. He acted out in faith. He said, Jesus said, all these people are hungry. Disciple says, well, Lord, we don't have enough money to go buy. We ain't got enough. Even if we worked for a month, we ain't got enough money to buy the food for these people. And one of them says, hey, but we got a little boy. Had you like been a little boy over here? He'd probably sitting here getting ready to eat his lunch. And disciple says, we got a little boy here. He's got food, Jesus. But the little boy gave it. Jesus blessed it. Now, I'm going to point this out. Everybody thinks they have to get down and say some 10-minute prayer before the blessing of their food. It said he gave thanks. That word blessed means, it's not blessed as in we think, oh, and I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I rebuke any impurities in you, and blah, blah, blah. It said he gave thanks for it. Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you for this. He broke it and started handing it out left and right. They picked up 12 baskets of fragments. Now, who do you think got that 12 baskets of fragments? I'm going to lay money on it. It was the little boy who got the 12 baskets of fragments because it was his seed. It was his act of faith, not the disciples, not the other people. It was the little boy who had a little, and he gave it to God, and God sent it back. We can only imagine how many times over. Because, see, we got to understand today's market. Oh, that bread, somebody already ate half that loaf. They broke it off. Well, you know, Vicky, she's a baker back there. You know, she's not going to break a loaf of bread open she just baked in the oven and stick it out in the thing and sell half of it. But they did back then. Why? Because somebody had to eat it. Well, I can't eat a whole loaf myself, but I'll buy half of that and somebody else will probably buy half. They'd rather sell half of it than leave the whole thing to rot. Seems a little common sense there. But us, no, we'd rather just let it all rot and throw it away. But Jesus took what that little boy had, just a little bit, and he blessed him. So you know, okay, Lord, I know you've told me to take Miss Gloria out to lunch. But Father, all I've got is $5. God didn't say you had to eat. Now come on. But if I'm going to lunch with her... No, he just told you to take her to lunch. That's all he told you. Because see, what might end up happening is you might get to lunch, and God has already told somebody sitting in the back corner, says, I'm going to send two people up. Two ladies are going to come up here. I want you to pick up their tab. But see, in that process, what you found out is Gloria may have had something for you, a word. God told her to tell you something.
God laid that on her heart to speak into your life about your children, about a child maybe that's been rebellious and running amok. But you don't want, but you keep skirting the issue because you don't want to get near Gloria. You know, God told me to take her to lunch. I don't want to get near her. I'll have to take her to lunch. I only got $5. Where are we going to go? McDonald's? Well, she nodded her head. That tells me she's good. She's jiggy with it. Take her to McDonald's. Step out in faith. Let God move on your behalf. Well, God doesn't just make money fall from heaven. I found a 20 in a ditch one time mowing the grass. You tell me. Do you know how many thousands of dollars they find in the ditches in this state alone? How people are losing money out their windows, I don't know, but I keep my eyeballs open. If I see something laying in the road and it's flopping around, if it's the right color green, ain't nothing behind me, man. Them brakes are locking. It's worth $20. Because I'm telling you, they say they find thousands of dollars, the state workers do, when they're mowing. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I'll mow for free. Anyhow. But he says, if all you tell them is, see, here's what we think a blessing is. Depart, be warm, be filled. I know you're destitute. I know you don't have any food. I know you're cold and you're hungry. But I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Be thou filled. Hey, you know what? Here's $20. It's all I've got on me. I'd give you more, but it's all I got right now. Go buy your kids some food, and I'll see what I can do about getting you a coat. See, but we don't want to do that. Well, that's not very glorious. Well, you are Christian for the wrong purpose. We're not in this thing for the glory. Just like every veteran in here that I know of didn't serve so that we could come back and have monuments built to us. We didn't do it for that reason. At least I know I didn't, and I know, you know, the other guys, I'm looking at them, they ain't telling me any different. It's good to have people say thank you, but that's not why we did it. Okay? We did it to serve. Now, so if you're trying to serve Christ and, you know, you're just giving things away so that you can feel better about yourself, then listen, if God told you to be doing that, you better be doing that right now, right here, right now. You had better be doing what God told you. Because if, see, here's what people think, well, I'm going to be neutral Switzerland right here. There is no Switzerland in God's book, neutral. You're either his friend or you're his enemy. You take the pick. He said it. He said, if they're for you, they're not against you. Remember the disciples came, Jesus, there's men over there, they're casting out demons in your name. We don't know who they are. They're not of our camp. Who said they could do that? Jesus said, well, are they against you? Well, I guess not. Then they're for you. Duh. So if God's told you to be doing something, I'm going to tell you right now, do it. Now again, in verse 18, James said, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And he replies, show me your faith without your works. Show me how it works. It's not going anywhere, is it? Because he finished up this chapter in verse 26. He said, faith without works is like the body without the spirit. It just kind of lays there. There's my faith, folks. My unanimated faith. It's not moving, but there it is, see? And you know what happens to the body when the spirit leaves, right? The second that spirit leaves and that heart stops, decay sets in. Give it a good day, 2 days, it'll reek of death. That's faith. That's where most people's faith is at, because they're not putting any movement towards it. Now, if you say, well, Lord, I'm believing to move. I want to move. It's not that this house is bad or anything. It's just I want to move. God says, okay, great. What are you doing towards your faith? Yeah. Are you packed? Do you know where you're going? There's the kicker. Are you looking? Oh, nope, he's just going to lead me. What, by a pillar? He's just going to miraculously take you around and park you into the house you're supposed to be in. Or is your faith working, looking for the house? And by the way, if you're living in a single wide, don't pull up to the biggest house in the county and claim it as yours. You can't afford the electric bill. If your finances supports the single wide, you are not going to touch the biggest house in the county. I have heard people do. My faith is in action. Like I've told you, I knew people. Some of you in here know them. You just don't know who they are that they did this. They were claiming that big brick house over here off the corner. That's my house. They lived in a one-room apartment. Was on welfare. They claimed that as their house. Well, Pastor, people can dream. Okay, I've got dreams. And then there's fantasies. Okay? Fantasies are not going to happen. Why? Because here's why. Particularly in those people's case, they weren't willing to work for it. They were lazy people. They were willing to connive for it, to steal, to talk people out of their money. And they were willing to let God just pay for it. Listen, there's times God will do that, but it's been based on the fact of whether you're his friend or not. I don't go buy Osama bin Laden new tires for his limo, okay? He's not my friend. I pray for him. I pray that he will find the truth and that he will spend just as much time as he has been fighting the truth, that he will spend repairing it. But right now at the moment, he is not my friend and I'm not going to stop anything. But let's say Keith's being attacked. Keith's my friend. I'm going to jump in and save him. Or at least try to. I mean, we'll go down swinging. But you understand what I'm saying now. Everybody's wanting their faith. Well, I'm a friend of God because I've said, Jesus be my Lord. No, he said you're a friend if you do what he says. I mean, come on. Let's just actually preach the word for once. Some of these doctrines are they're in the twilight zone, folks. And I'm talking the twilight zone where where William Shatner's sitting on an airplane and there's a furry creature eating the plane on the wing. I caught that one night. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I don't know what it was, but it was hilarious. Every time you look out there, this guy, he's eating a wing. Stewardess, what are you looking at? You psycho, man. Anyhow, but you see, people have taken their faith and it's perverted now. It is not faith because they're not doing the basics of what God had already said. Now, let's go over to James chapter 1, verse 26. Just flip the page. Let's go to 25. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Here, you hear the word, you do the word. You'll be blessed in what you do. Verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Do you ever notice if you go back into the law? Now, just about every society, folks, I don't care what they try to do, they are not going to get away from agriculture. We've got to have it. It's where our food comes from. Without food, what's the point in living? Who cares if I got a Ferrari if I can't feed my belly? Okay? Because even the Ferrari factory will shut down because they can't feed their families. So back in that day, back in his time, God made provision for people. This was God's welfare program. Unlike man, see, man just hands you a check and food stamps. God said, round the corners of your fields, and you are not to glean your own field. Now, if some of you don't know what gleaning is, it's when you walk through particularly cornfields. When I had chickens, we had a small cornfield behind our house, and back in that day, the cornheads weren't really all that great. The guy never gleaned them, so I'd take a burlap bag and I'd go through there and I'd pick up the ears of corn that were missed. And I could feed my chickens all winter long on that. And that's gleaning. And God said, this is how I'm going to provide for the poor. First off, he expected them to work. This is God's welfare program. But it involved those who had the fields. Round your corners. I don't know if God had dimensions, but you were not to go straight to the corner and around. You were to round the corner so that they could come and harvest of that. Well, I'm not going to do that. Do you know how much I'm going to lose? Do you know what you're going to lose by disobeying God? Come on. He's saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to sow a seed. Don't miss it. Because you never know, your next son or daughter-in-law might be coming out of that family that you're helping to feed. How do you think Ruth met Boaz? She was gleaning his fields. And if I remember correctly, he started saying, hey, leave her a little bit more. Took a liking to her. Suddenly, I found my wife. But they were around the corners of the fields. They were not to glean their own fields so that those people could work. One, they could still have some self-respect, folks. Do you know what the biggest thing the welfare program has done? It has robbed people of self-respect. They're not even remotely embarrassed to have three generations of people on welfare raising babies one after another on a public dime. Yeah, they deserve it now in their minds. Oh, I'm just going to get pregnant and go have kids and get on welfare. I actually heard a girl say that. Yeah, the more kids, the more money. So what have we done? We've actually hurt people because our thinking is not God's thinking. We are not very smart. God's like, listen, I know they need help. I know there's poor. But I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let them still work for it. I give my boys things, but I'm going to tell you right now, somewhere along the line, they worked for it because they became my friend. You understand what I'm saying? They obeyed me. Daddy's heart was moved because they obeyed. Now, Daddy's heart's moved sometimes even when they've been disobedient. That's called mercy. Thank God for it. Now, did I finish all that up? Okay. Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans, widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Let's just state this. This is not an exhaustive list. Everybody's like, oh, that's all I got to do is look at orphans and widows? Well, we got government programs for that. We don't need to do that. No. This is not an exhaustive list. Okay? Here, I'm going to take you back at least 10,000 years, roughly in that neighborhood. One man dared to ask God a question. Am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer to that? Yes. I am my brother's keeper. Therein lies the law of love. It doesn't matter Well, she's not an orphan. You know, there are people, well, you're an orphan, you're a widow. Paul had to come down finally and say, listen, if you're under 60, we cannot consider you a widow. You're still of marrying age. Yeah. If you're under 60, he didn't consider you a widow. You're of marrying age. Go get married, woman. Go find you a man. Oh, by the way, he had stipulations. He had some pretty strict stipulations. You had to have been the wife of one man. Meant you weren't divorced and just kept hopping around. And you had to have raised your children honorably. Paul had some pretty strict provisions on taking care of that. Again, I thank God for the mercy. But to look in on the orphans and the widows, to help take care of them. But what do we do now? You know, my parents are foster parents. They're not allowed really to correct the children. Sentences. Do you know how many sentences I wrote in school? I will do my homework. I spent more time writing sentences than I did doing my homework. And I got so good, I knew how to take my pencil together and write three sentences at one time. I'm just telling you, you got to be smarter than the teacher. I had it down. Jesse, he hates sentences. Oh, he hates sentences with a passion. I said, you know what? Mama gave him 100 sentences the other day. That boy cried like we'd have just beat him for an hour. I'm like, I think I just found your hot button. You got to write them sentences, and you don't get to do anything until those sentences are done. That motivates him. Yeah. In our religion, he says religion here, folks. How many? I've heard Doc say it. I've said it lots. I hate religion, and I'm gonna tell you what. And you all in here know why. Because all religion does is and says, come and do this, don't do that. Dress this way, don't dress this way. Now, I say there are some ways don't dress. we'll just take it to that level and say, you know, hey, high enough and low enough, okay? Enough said. We don't need to be looking at your thigh while you're on the platform. Because I've seen some churches, I'm like, is there a fire pole up there somewhere? She shouldn't be on the stage. Just waiting for the little saxophone to play in. Anyhow. Pure and undefiled religion. I better get off that subject real quick. Pure and undefiled religion. It's your worship, folks. That word is actually worship. True worship. See, what we did a while ago, we call it praise and worship. How many of you understand that is probably the worst word we could pick for it? That's the English word for it. We sing songs. Can anybody, and I know some of you in here, you've been saved longer than me, you've probably read the Bible through more times than me, and that's why I'm calling upon you. Have you ever read of one song service in the Bible other than David and Miriam? Anybody? Okay, you got some of the priests. But how about Jesus' ministry? I couldn't think of any. Couldn't think of any with Paul. Why? Yeah, they sang in prison. Yeah, they did sing in prison. Okay, I'll make sure I have chains next week. And we'll put bars on the doors. Phil's the usher. Boy, you got it easy this time. We'll give you the whip. Just remember about the heavy taskmaster, brother. But you see, the truth of the matter is, real worship is living a life of obedience to God. Okay? That's what real worship is. Yes, the praise. Listen, folks, you cannot have church without having a praise and worship service. You gotta have it, because it ushers in the Holy Spirit. He shows up and he's like, hey, I'm welcomed. That's why I say the livelier the better. Because I want a Holy Spirit who's moving, not a Holy Spirit who just slides in like he's on downers. But our true worship is to live a life of obedience before God. That means, hey, when we find out somebody has a problem, what can we do about it? Do we know of any ways to take care? You know, listen, we have people call us for food and stuff. There's some of them we try to meet. But for the majority of them, I say, listen, there are churches locally who already have these established. I personally do not see the need in reinventing the wheel. Okay? One, I do not have the space to do that. You know, Edison Enterprise out there, they got a building that's as big as this just for food. I don't see a need in us buying another building. We don't have the room for it. Just so we can, they've got it. They understand how it works. They've got a system down. Lord, I bless him in Jesus' name. You call me for food, I'm going to say, you're going to have to go down there. If it's a dire emergency, whatever, yeah, I'll buy you some food for a couple days, but I'm not going to supply you for the month. I'm not going to keep, you're not going to come back next month and say the same thing. I've had people do that. Oh, you know, I came and got some, you guys gave us some baby food and some diapers. I was wondering if we could get that again. I said, you're called in again this month? I said, your husband works at the store. He makes more than I do. You drive a new car. I said, honey, your problem is not you don't have food. The problem is you don't know how to spend your money right. You need for somebody to tell you no. And that's what I just told you. I'm not going to go down and buy you more baby food. Especially when your husband comes up showing me off his brand new leather jacket from some stupid NASCAR driver. Listen, nice, NASCAR's great, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's a great thing to sleep to. Okay? I'm just going to be honest. What's the most exciting time during NASCAR? Crash. And they're working so hard not to have them anymore. All you're doing is, I'd rather watch golf. Through my eyelids, okay? You got to have something soothing. It's kind of like listening to a jazz station. Don't listen to that while you're driving. You will go to sleep. Oh, yeah. Sit back and relax. Listen to the cool, relaxing sensation. Oh, man, what was that? Oh, it was a mailbox. Anyhow, let's get back to the faith. So if we're not going to put our faith to work by our actions, we don't really have faith. It's dead. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. Okay, that's great. How are you showing them that Jesus loves them? Are you praying for them? Did you pray for what? What's bothering? Well, Jesus did. Now, it doesn't mean Jesus sat around and talked about their problems for 10 hours at a shot. I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't do that. I rely on somebody who's got a higher PhD than me, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's called the Great Counselor. I let the Holy Spirit be that counselor. I'll listen to you. I'll do what I can right off the cuff. But after that, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's the one telling you. He told me to tell you through my mouth because you're doubting what you've heard in your head or your heart. We'll just put it that way. I say in your head, people think, oh, you're hearing voices in your head. Yeah, that's where I hear. I don't know how many of you. I hear things up there. I'm going to call it my heart. Next thing I know, they'll be bringing an I love me coat and one of these. I love me. Man, that's sad. I can't get my arms all the way around anymore. Jacket's a little binding. I've been told it gets better from here. And I'm standing on that. But anyhow. Yeah, 220s. There you go. I like that. I'm going to set JD at the door. By the way, he will be packing. It's concealed. In his beard. I had to, man. He's got guys at work telling him to shave his beard. And they're truckers, yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, it did. Yeah, you know, I guess we're wrapping up the message. We got this rain beating down on our face. We're driving 60 miles an hour. It hurts. I'm riding with my lip sucked in, you know, riding with my mouth wide open so I can protect my lips. JD's over there, I ain't got nothing wrong, you know. And I said, I ain't got a small furry animal growing on my face, man. Yes, it did. It worked out to your advantage. Yeah. Roadkill. Oh, he hit some. He tried to sling it up on my bike. Oh, but anyhow. So, yes. Yeah. He was looking out for me. That's what he was doing. And he ran over that possum and slung it all over his own bike. All right, finish up the message. If you say you have faith, you'll back it by your action. I don't care what it is. You're believing for something. What's your action? Lord, I'm believing for a new house. I'm believing for new furniture. Well, get your stuff ready. Get it clean. Get ready. I'm not saying throw the old stuff out yet, okay? Just have everything ready. Lord, I'm believing to move. You know, maybe your house is a dump. We lived in one. I lived in a house, so I swore up and down, the best thing could happen to it, it's a fragmentation grenade. And run. Blow the thing up. Let it burn. But you know what? We put our faith to our action. To some action. We started packing some boxes back up. We'd lived there 3 years, and get this, Joshua didn't want to leave it. We moved over here. He says, I don't like this house. Boy, I got mad. And I said, boy, what are you talking about? This house is nice. We live in a hole. I mean, it was almost a hole. It had a rock in the basement you couldn't put your arms around. It was built on that rock. When it rained, there was a river that went through the basement because it had a dirt floor. I walked into the trim of the door into the bedroom. It was right here. I'm not kidding. I only did that once. About knocked me out. Oh, jeez. You remember the duck going into the bedrooms. And the landing at the top of the steps was about this wide and this wide. By the way, it had a kneeler ceiling, so you walked in and went like this to the bedroom. And Joshua said, I don't like this house. But we put our faith to action, and we packed our boxes, and we got ready. And God moved us. Just like that. He gave Angela and I both visions of the same house. And we were in the same room. I just thought of that. She was doing dishes in it, and I was standing there with another preacher. Go figure. And I said, Lord, why am I entertaining a preacher in my house? That's the preacher's job. I didn't know what God had in store. But now I know. But you see, we put our faith to action. We were believing for that house. You believe in God for something. You know, we were believing God for a building, folks. Now we can set it. Now, by the way, I want to let you know, we've sown into numerous people's building funds and paying off their buildings. Okay? We've sown seed into those for those purposes, for us. We didn't stop there with our action. We went ahead and started pulling a certain amount of money out and saving it. We had a CD. We had $3,000 in a CD. Boy, I thought we were rich. Like, woohoo, $3,000. We're going to start this building project. You couldn't have guessed I was a contractor at that point. Boy, did I miss that $18,000 later. And God brought every dime of it in. Every dime. I was amazed. Every dime. We'd sit down and like, where did it come from? We had been proactive and put our faith to work. We have sown seed for debt cancellation into some other ministries to help them for their building, for us. Now, I'm not going to go. God hasn't told me to send anything out yet. We are going to probably, just so you know, building project coming up. We're going to need some more money on that. So if God's telling you to sow a seed, sow it. We're going to need it. Because if you have ever had to go next door during the winter or during the rain, you will know there's only one way out of this building. Out into the parking lot and run. We're going to connect the buildings so that the kids don't have to go out in the cold. Okay? And there's no cars. We don't have to worry about that. Because believe it or not, folks, what you can't see, I can. I see people still trying to fly through here, even though I've got that. There's no way they're getting underneath that cable down there. Not without knocking their windshield out, which I thought would be good for Rob. Create business for Rob. They're dumb enough, they're going to lose a windshield. Well, we got a safe light guy right here. Yeah, we'll put business cards on it. Get magnets, man. Magnets, we'll put them on there. Yeah. 1-800 Rob. Call Rob. Anyhow. But we've been proactive on that. We put our faith to action, and that's why we're here. That's why we've seen things happen. So just so you know, there's been action. It's not just to sit around. All I call it forth, I called myself blessed. I call you blessed. Well, you can be blessed if you don't do anything with it. What's the purpose? That's why I don't understand bodybuilding. Some of you might. I don't. Why build up all those big muscles? You can't do anything with it except show them off. I mean, seriously. I had a sergeant in Okinawa. The year before, he placed third in the Mr. and Mrs. Far East competition. This dude had thighs like this. He was humongous. He was one man I would not have messed with. Except the fact I knew I'd get out running. He was huge. I mean, his forearms were about the size of my thighs right now. I'm not kidding. When he started pumping up for this competition while we were there, I was like, dude, how did you grow like that? I mean, he was massive. But there became a problem. Even as a Marine, he could not do what he was required to do. He was too bulked up. Yeah, oh, he had these big old guns, man. He couldn't do all the pull-ups like he was supposed to. He couldn't run like he was supposed to. Do I believe he could pick me up, pack and all, and throw me on his shoulder and move? Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that. He had the tree trunks he was running on. But the problem was, he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. So why have it? I've got the blessing. Why not do something with it? You know, I'd rather have good tone, good definition, good strength, than massive amounts of strength and backup that can never be used. You know, Phil will even tell you, he can only reach so high because of his muscles. That's it. I can outreach Phil. I know that. I take advantage of it when I can. When I can, he's a little bit, just a hair taller than me, so he's got me. And then he starts pushing me around. I don't know about that. So you've got the blessing. How about start putting that faith to some action? And let God move on it. Start showing people the love of Christ. You know what? God tells you to do something, do it. You can't outgive God, and you don't. Well, try it. Let me put it that way. Try it, I dare you. Try to outgive God. Watch what He'll do. He's going to move on your behalf because He said He would. Because why? Because that is true worship to Him. I've used the example before of, you know, Keith being on the roof and God told him to give his lunch to a homeless man. Yeah, Keith says, Lord, I'm hungry and I'm going to need it. But yet that homeless man dies that night because he was starved. Keith may never know, but what Keith doesn't know is now he's got sin against him. Because he disobeyed the voice of God. Because God told him to do something simple. Never mind the fact Keith could have gave him his lunch, pulled $2 or $3 out of the pocket, gave it to him for that purpose, and still went down and got him a sandwich. He could have done all that. But because of the way we're thinking present. We don't think about the future. Listen, God knew when he was laying the foundations of this earth. I always think of God sitting there putting bricks together, building this thing. He knew when he was doing that. When Jesus was returning, and everything in between with everybody. And he knew what was going to be required at every step of the way. All he's asking for us is to be his friend and obey him. And I'm going to tell you right now, people with a carnal mind, a fleshly mind, an unsaved mind, can't comprehend that. What's all this obey stuff and this serving stuff? I don't understand that. All that, because I taught on it last week, or the other day, I don't remember exactly, about how man uses his authority, Wednesday night, how man uses his authority over man. That was never God's intention for us. God never intended for us to rule over each other. No way, shape, how, nor form. God did not intend for me to rule over her. She was a helpmate. She was made from his side. Man is still the covering. Adam was still the covering. Just even now, as the man is the covering of the house. Which that's probably a whole, I promise you, that's a whole nother lesson. Well, let's stand. Okay. Glory to God. Again, just real quick, war on the floor tonight, 4:30, and immediately following that, you're all invited to cake and fellowship, cake, chips. Yeah, there's other food. I just mentioned a cake because that's what I want. And I'll eat Keith's piece. All right. I like Keith, man. He's a man. He learns quick. So, hey, I just wanted to again remind you, you're all invited. Just come, fellowship. You know, Angela has really poured herself into this. I told Joshua this the other day. I said, "Is your mom going a little crazy with this?" He says, "I think so." Well, I mean, she's just been doing a lot of stuff, and I appreciate it. So, anyhow, well, we're standing. I'm going to bless you, and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. And again, Lord, we thank you that you used your servants, such as James, to speak this message into our lives so many years ago. And Father, we pray that you help us to adapt this message into our life, Father, that it will change us from one degree of glory to the next, Father, and that we can remain to be your friends. Father, that we will always walk in your obedience, Father, to every word you've said. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. I pray your blessing upon them, Father. I thank you right now, Father, that you're ministering healing to where healing is needed. In the name of Jesus, I curse parasites, germs. I curse arthritis. In the name of Jesus, I speak health and life into these bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.